IVM.
Hello and welcome to the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. I'm Ashwin, and this week we have a very special episode lined up for you. At the time of recording this, India has beaten South Africa 2-0 in the T20 series with one match to go. There's some ODIs coming up, and with the World Cup just around the corner, before we get back into the swing of things, we thought we'd take a few minutes to record a special episode with some really cool guests. As many of you know and have been following closely, there's a unique tournament going on called the Legends League. And we got the amazing opportunity to talk to some very cool guests from the Legends League. So without further ado, here's DJ, who had the cool opportunity to talk to three very special guests from Legends League. The first, Ross Taylor. I was going to introduce him, tell you a little bit about his cricketing prowess, but honestly, Ross Taylor needs no real introduction. He's an unbelievable legend of the game. The second is a World Cup 2019 winner and a World T20 runner-up. And of course, if you haven't figured out, well, I'm talking about Liam Plunkett, just an outstanding quick bowler, and we get a chance to talk to him. And finally, we get on Raman, who is the founder of Legends League Cricket, just to talk to us a little bit about how the concept came about, why it launched, and how cool it is and what they've learned. So with that, I'll take you over to DJ, who got a chance to talk to Ross Taylor, Liam Plunkett, and Raman about Legends League Cricket.
Have you ever wondered where the business world is headed? How the ways in which we create, market, and sell to consumers will evolve? Or if we'll ever go back to wearing pants while working? For answers to all of this and more, tune into Advertising is Dead with me, Varun Dugirala. Every Tuesday, as I talk to entrepreneurs, leaders, and change makers from across business, media, marketing, and beyond. You can catch all episodes of Advertising is Dead on the IBM Podcast website, app, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome back from that break, and you're listening to the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. We haven't had a guest on for some time now, so we thought we'd give you a double treat. We have two bona fide legends joining us, the first of which it's none other than Ross Taylor. Ross, welcome to the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for being on. And obviously, you need no introduction to our listeners. You're a World Test champion. You're a two-time ODI World Cup runner-up. You've dismantled Shoaib Akhtar, which makes you an absolute legend in the eyes of all Indian cricket fans. You're a Delhi daredevil back in the day, and now in India capital. So you're playing in the Legends Cricket League at the moment. First of all, how cool is it to have a franchise tournament beyond the IPL, particularly for legends like yourself?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think when I retired in April of this year, I never thought I'd be playing cricket at for Osher Kotler again. So, you know, it's great to also obviously play cricket again, but to see a lot of familiar faces that you've obviously played with and against, to share a changing room with Gambier and Mitchell Johnson. I've never, you know, played against them a lot, but I haven't played in the same team, and just to see how they go about things. It's very good, and hopefully, it's very successful and can continue on for the years to come.
I absolutely love that. You mentioned the double G already. He was a double D back in the day as well. So let me ask you, what's it like playing with Gautam Gambhir as skipper? He was obviously a feisty character as a player. He was a very astute and intense captain. He won the IPL twice with the KKR. He's involved with various teams in a mentorship capacity at the moment. So tell us a little about Gautam Gambhir as a captain and a skipper.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. He's still got that competitiveness. I don't think he ever loses that. The many times we've had some good battles, he scored a lot of runs against New Zealand, and we've been on the receiving end of, you know, a lot of very good hundreds for the India to win. And no, just the way he goes about it, I think he's very, keeps things simple. And I'm sure the way he's captained here is the way he's captained throughout his whole career. But no, you know, it's nice. Even though you're retired and things, you always learn a lot. And I've learned a lot off Gambier already and players in the team. So, it's been good.
I'm going to ask Liam about what went down between Mitch and Yusuf yesterday. But what's Gambier's role in all of that? Because, as I said, he was a feisty character. Is he a cool head when tempers tend to flare? They step in and calm things down?
You know, us Kiwis, we just stand back and let it all happen. We don't get involved in that type of stuff. No, as I said before, I think it just shows you that when you do retire from cricket, you never lose that competitiveness. Once you walk over the white line, you want to win. You want to do yourself and your team proud. And there was four competitors going at it yesterday. Yusuf, Mitchell Johnson, Gambier, Watson, four great cricketers who just want to win. And sometimes those things happen.
Yeah, and there's been history between Gambhir and Watson, obviously, back in the day as well. I remember a little bit of an elbow. It may have been at the Kotla itself, I'm not wrong, back in the late 2000s. But let's move on from that. Of course, you talked about Gambhir scoring hundreds. You weren't too bad at that yourself. So we've obviously focused on a number of your innings, particularly the 50 in the semi-final in 2019 to put India out of the World Cup, which was a great knock in pretty trying circumstances. But you also scored a double 100 in Test cricket at the Wacker. How was that against Australia, kind of their mecca of cricket, I'd say, with the fastest pitch in the world? How did that feel, scoring 100 there?
Yeah, well, I'd struggled leading into it. I had come off an injury and missed out a lot in the first test. So, you know, we were in the field, it was about 40-odd degrees, and it was a pretty flat wicket. It was nice to just get through that initial first 30 or 40 balls. And once I did do that, I felt comfortable. And I guess it was just one of those innings that I think Australia got 560. So, you know, even when you got to 200, you knew your job wasn't done. You had to just keep batting and give yourself a chance to at least draw the match. But after we're getting 290, we put ourselves in a position to, you know, possibly win the test. But yeah, never dreamt of having a test high score of 290 and the highest ever score by a visiting batsman in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also talked about big scores when 181 on one leg, Ross, against England in Dunedin. Where do you rate that among your various hundreds? And do you bat better on one leg?
Yeah, they'll definitely be up there with my top one day innings. I guess the circumstances, we were chasing 330, 340, and we lost two wickets for no runs. So 230 looked a long way away. But in those situations, you always know if you just give yourself a chance, get a few partnerships along the way. And then I think I injured myself when I was on about 105, 109. And in hindsight, it was probably the best thing that happened to me. I couldn't really do much more than pull my weight onto one leg, and just shows you when you hold your shape, what you can do. And you know, I had nothing to lose, and it was nice to, you know, I think we were 2-1 down in the series. It was nice to get it to a decider in the next match, even though I wasn't able to play.
You're being very modest. I think that's one of the greatest innings. Beware the injured player, I think is what they say. But the other thing is, you've written your autobiography. It's come out this year, and obviously Liam's coming on later, hopefully. And when you Google your names together, the most interesting story turns up. So Ross Taylor and Liam Plunkett, Googled together. Tell us the story of why you stopped eating duck before cricket matches.
I mentioned that to him on the bus the other day, that I'd put it in there, because obviously he wouldn't have known. But so my first ever World Cup match back in 2007 in St. Lucia, we were staying at a hotel, and across the road was a Chinese restaurant. Spent a bit of time in England, and one of my favourite meals was crispy aromatic duck. I had it there. Had a whole duck, and Liam Plunkett swung the ball away. First ball of my World Cup career, got a big outside edge, bit too expansive of a drive, and Freddie Flintoff took a one-handed screamer at sort of a 1.5 second slip. And yeah, from then on in, no more duck. I did have it probably 2 or 3 years ago at a dinner, and our friends said, I told them I don't eat duck when we were about to play a game, and they said, no, you're not playing tomorrow, you're playing in 2 days' time. And I still got a golden duck, so duck's off the menu. Well, I thought I could start eating it, but now I'm back playing again. Still can't eat it.
So no duck during the Legends League cricket either?
Oh, no chance.
That's fantastic. So, Ross, we are called Edges and Sledges, right? Now, obviously, you've played cricket for a long, long time. You've had some pretty intense battles and amazing battles with competitors on the field. Can you tell us a sledging story, and can bleep all the interesting bits out? Don't worry. So yeah, you can go wild.
You get asked a lot who you think what the best sledge is. And for me, it's in the book, so it doesn't involve me. I was there, but Neil Wagner was telling Tatenda Bavuma what he thought. You know, what's he going to do? AB had sort of not played test cricket for a while, and there was umming and ahhing whether he was coming back. So Wagner was pretty fired up. He was playing at his home, you know, where he grew up in Pretoria, and he kept telling Bavuma, what's he going to do when AB comes back? What's he going to be doing? So he did that for the whole over, and right at the end of the over, he said to Bavuma again, what are you going to do when AB comes back? And Tatenda Bavuma said to Neil Wagner, he said, oh, I'll probably immigrate to New Zealand. So he kept Wagner very quiet there, and I guess the rest is history. But saying that, Wagner got 5 wickets in that match, and yeah, it was a very good court session, and they both had to have a drink for that incident after the match in a New Zealand and South Africa court session.
Sounds like good banter on the field. Witty banter is always good banter, right? Rather than the abusive version. But You guys are now through to the finals of the Legends League Cricket, and you were the first team to make it. You made it yesterday. Have you got a message for your opponent to be in the final? Has there been any sledging in this league?
I'm just watching them at the moment. Looks like the Kings are doing all right. No, I don't think so. I mean, at the end of the day, it's serious cricket, but it's also relaxed. I mean, it's not international cricket. It doesn't go on your stats. But at the same time, you still want to win and do well. But I guess that's what happened to Gambier and the boys yesterday. I thought it was quite funny, but also quite nice too, that, you know, you're doing whatever you want to win and doing what's natural to you as well. I think quite often you might not do something that's because it might cause a reaction, but if that's what naturally comes to you, then that I've got no problem with that.
Yeah. So we probably see this growing, and I've just seen that Liam is just about to join. So I think, Ross, I think you might be off the hook. So thank you very much for your time, and good luck with the final. You are a Delhi Daredevil, and we are Delhi Capitals and Delhi Daredevils fans on this podcast. So it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks, Ross.
Thank you.
Liam, welcome to Edges and Sledges. You need no introduction for anyone on the show. You're a World T20 runner-up. You won the World Cup 2019 with England. You're a Major League cricketer and coach. You've been a Delhi Daredevil, and now you're in India Capital. Welcome to Edges and Sledges, and thank you for the time.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to having a chat with you guys.
Yeah, thanks so much. So the first question I have for you, Liam, is it easier bowling at 140 clicks or explaining cricket to Americans? Because that seems to be what you're up to these days.
I think probably the first one. yeah, honestly, it's right now in my career, I'm happy to get 130 clicks at the minute. So I'm trying to pull out some new slow balls, developing some new slow balls to help me on the later stage of my career. But as you mentioned, the Major League Cricket is exciting for me. It's something I'm very passionate about, to play and to coach. And to develop cricket in the United States.
Fantastic. And we've just been speaking to Ross Taylor, and he's been talking about the atmosphere in the dressing room. He's been talking about playing with Gautam Gambhir, a skipper and stuff. So tell us what it's been like in that dressing room at the India Capitals. What have you made of all of it? Because obviously you've played the IPL before, but how cool is it to be back together almost, bringing the old band back together?
Yeah, it's really good because obviously with the backroom staff, in terms of the manager, the coaches, the physios, it's all the same guys who I've got a good relationship with. And then obviously Gigi's here, who was captain for sort of the first half, and then Shreyas came and took over. Yep. So it's good to obviously be around these guys. And also to play with the older guys who I've played against, who are my idols, obviously Jack Callis. I played with Ross Taylor way back when. I played with him at Durham, and then you come back in a full circle and play with these guys again. But the atmosphere has been really good because we're in a situation where guys are still playing professional cricket, obviously no longer international, but a lot of the guys are transitioning. So it's good to chat to guys who are going through a similar stage in their life. Obviously coming towards the back end, so they're still competitive, but there's other stuff on the horizon, whether that's coaching, investment banking, if someone's doing that, or whatever route they take. It's been good. It's just good to connect with people. I'm not sure how serious or what kind of level we expected this to be, but as soon as the first game came and went, it just got more intense. The fires got burning inside the guys, and the cricket got really good. And as you've seen, if you guys have watched any of the standards, really good.
Yeah, we've seen the rivalries and how they've built and spilled over in some cases, but we'll come to that. You've talked about the other guys in the dressing room, and how good has Ashley Nurse been? He's a bit younger. He's actually younger than I am, actually. He's 33. He scored a couple of hundreds. He's got a 50 yesterday. Most of you guys are done with the IPL, right? You've had your gig. You played the IPL. But he seems to be like he's trying out for the IPL with this kind of form. He's been absolutely incredible, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's played nicely. I mean, I think I spoke to him after his first knock. I've played against Ashley. I've seen him a little bit this year because he's been around the minor league. I think he was playing down in Houston, and I've seen him in a couple of weekend competitions. But I think as he's got a little bit older, he's matured with his batting and his shot selection, got more shots to play, and he looks more confident. Obviously, it's been his bowling. That's why he played for West Indies and is striking down the bottom. But now it feels like he can dominate in innings. You never know. I mean, with the way he's striking the ball, he hits it out the stadium, not into the stands, out the stadium. So hopefully guys look at this and think there's a possibility for him in our team. So that'd be amazing for him.
Brilliant. Now, talking of rivalries and competitiveness between you guys have all played top flight cricket, obviously. We would have thought it may have eased off a little bit, but we saw yesterday Yusuf Pathan and Mitch Johnson absolutely getting into it. So talk us through what went on between those two guys, because Mitch didn't like the sixes that went off him. But
I think Mitch is competitive, but I think there was a miscommunication thing. Okay. I don't know the full details, but I think someone said something that someone didn't say. And then obviously the old rivalry made that heat up. But I don't think there was anything really bad said. It was just, yeah. I mean, I was at square leg. I wasn't that close to what was going on. So it brings a bit of heat to the game. It shows other guys care. Yeah. Oh, it also might have brought up some old feelings. Who knows? But it's competitive cricket. No one likes to get hit out the ground. But I don't think that was ever the case. That was never the reason why. I think it was a miscommunication in words. But that happens in cricket. But as we said, it's the guys are passionate. You don't want to get outdone by an opposition, no matter what cricket you play, whether you play in the park with your friends or your kids or your nieces and nephews. You never want to get hit into the trees. So good. It was a great game. It was one of the best games of cricket I've played in for a very long time. Such a high chasing game and an amazing wicket. I'm a bowler, so I think probably should blow that wicket up as far as I'm concerned. But it was good fun.
You've taken a number of wickets in your time, Liam, including that of Kohli in that 2019 World Cup and 3 wickets in the final. I mean, you blew that game wide open. So yes, of course, the flavour of the month is run outs at the bowler's end, right? So the final's coming up in a couple of days. Are we expecting a run out at the bowler's end in the Legends League cricket, or is that something you guys are well past?
I don't know. Who knows what's going to go on? It's obviously in the laws. I don't think I would do it, to be honest with you.
You're probably too quick. You'd be running.
No, not anymore, mate. No. But I don't think I would do it. But I mean, it's different scenarios. It's probably not a thing I would do. But each to their own. It's in the rule book. So it's obviously, yeah, it's a bit of a tricky situation. Everyone's got the opinion on that. It's not something I've really looked to do. I've always tried to get the batsman out a way that I would have control of ball and not LBW ball, blah, 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 blah. But each to their own.
Absolutely. Now, we call Edges and Sledges, Liam. So I want to ask you, you played cricket for a long time. You've played cricket at the highest level. Obviously, they're good sledgers and they're not so good sledgers. Were you a sledger when you were bowling, or did you get sledged a lot when you were batting?
Not really, mate, to be honest with you. When I first played, I can hardly remember any sledges. I remember Richie Blakey, who was a wicketkeeper for Yorkshire. I think when I first batted, he said something, this is a game called Kaplunk. And he's mentioned literally something about a Kaplunk game. And I reckon that's the only one that I remember that wasn't that great. And since then, I think it's because, I don't know, the way I was sort of brought up in the north of England, you just get on with it. You sort of go to the trenches, play tough cricket, let the ball do the talking, so to speak. I've had people, I don't know, stare you down and blind, effing blinds and all that good stuff, but not really anything personal, anything of note that I thought, oh, that's clever and witty. It's more like, all right, cool. Thanks, mate. I appreciate you swearing at me, but get back to your mark. So.
Do you get sledged less if you bowl quick, do you think?
I'm not. Maybe there's a thing when I was in my prime and you bowl in good pace. I think it's a little bit of that. But also, you're clever with it as a bowler because it actually sets people off. If you're bowling against a good batsman who likes to get fired up, like a Kohli or even someone like a Johnny Bairstow, if you set them off, I don't think the team's going to appreciate it. Them guys go to town and you wake them up, so to speak. You give them that little energy kick and then start teeing off or play out the skin and play an amazing knock. So it's being clever with the sledges.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you guys are through to the final, Liam, so congratulations on that. Can I just ask, have you got a message for your opponents that are, I think, in the process of trying to make it to join you guys in the final? You got anything to say to them?
Not really. I mean, whoever wins, good luck. I mean, it's just, at the end of the day, it's a game of cricket. I think you get to a point now where it's a Legends League. We're not all playing that standard. It's enjoyable, but whoever we play against, is it going to be a good competitive game of cricket, and hopefully it's good for crowds, good for people to watch on TV, to watch some of the guys being the best players in the world come together and play against each other. So best of luck to whoever gets through, and we'll see you in the final.
Absolutely, and it sounds like you've enjoyed it as a player, and we've certainly enjoyed it as viewers, so hopefully you'll be back time and again, and it's been great having you on the show. Liam, thanks again for your time. I know you're pressed and it's late where you are, so thank you again, and good luck for the final, and we're a Delhi Daredevils and Delhi Capitals fan podcast, so this is an absolute pleasure speaking to you. So thanks again for making the time.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate your support. Good luck with the podcast going forward. Thank you, guys.
Thanks very much, Liam. Cheers. Raman, welcome to Edges and Sledges. You are the founder of the Legends League of Cricket, the Legends Cricket League, which is creating waves all over at the moment. We've just spoken to Ross Taylor. We've just spoken to Liam Plunkett. They seem to have really enjoyed it. But as your brainchild, we want to ask you how you came up with the concept for this.
Yeah, you know, as fans amongst us, you, me, you know, thousands and actually millions of fans, and they all actually, you know, when they see their heroes get away from the main frame of cricket, you know, they're forced to take early retirement or they're forced to, you know, take away from the game, and not necessarily that cricket is done with them, but it is to do with that they possibly have lost out the physical edge. The youngsters come in and, you know, they kind of take an early retirement. So the idea was that if we pick them against a similar stature of cricketers who have a similar fitness level or a similar age, they should be able to do justice to, you know, by offering at least 4 or 5 years of competitive cricket. And that was the whole concept. That is the concept of Legends League Cricket.
And the players seem to have really taken to it. It's as competitive as any other kind of cricket that we've seen or covered. Of late, quality seems to be pretty good. You've got people scoring hundreds. And it is obviously a nice way of us, people who love watching these cricketers over the years, of seeing them again. Jack Callis, we didn't know when we would see him again. And it's just great to see him turn out. And so how did you go about recruiting these players? Because obviously the franchise model in India is the IPL is very well documented, how the IPL auction works and all of that. But this is slightly different, isn't it? Because it is a franchise-based model, but it's for players that may not be active in the international arena so far. So how difficult was it to convince them to come back? Because they may have reservations around fitness, form, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, you know, in fact, that has been my biggest challenge. So when we started in the first season in Oman earlier this year, January 2, we had about 58 cricketers who played with us. And believe you me, it took me some time, took us actually good 5-6 months to convince them to come back from a retirement, to come back into the field. And a lot of them thought that this would be fun time, you know, exhibition games and all that. And it just changed the day when they landed in their own city of Oman in Muscat. And they were all, you know, there for winning. The moment they crossed the white line and got into the arena, the cricketer in them, what they actually were known for, actually really reignited, and they just all wanted to win. That really brought out the intensity, you know. So nobody wanted to even just let go of one chance to beat the other guy, whether it was Kevin Peterson, Murli, and, you know, Irfan Pathan, brothers, both of them. So they were all there. But it was difficult for me to get that pool of 58. But today, in my second season, we have a cricketers pool of 110 players. Essentially, because they all saw the kind of cricket these guys were playing, and the cricket in them never died. You know, some legends who we all spoke to, they saw that as an opportunity to come back because they felt that there was some cricket left in them. You know, so normally in a T20 league around the world, you have these scouts who look for talent. And, you know, they go around the world trying to look for young talent. For us, it was a little different. It is a little different. So we have Andrew Lapers, who's our director of sports science. So, I mean, obviously these guys are legends, so you don't need to look for talent. So what we do is, with him, we scout for physically fit, competitive guys who can actually come back onto the field after a certain physical, you know, training and all of that. So we look around the world and then we talk to them whether you want to come back. We have built a very good case study with our season one. Now the season two, actually, this has really opened up for us that I have another 40-odd cricketers coming back from retirement. Of course, not to play international cricket, but our form of cricket. So for us, it was not just Legends League Cricket. That's a product. I'm actually taking a leaf and turn that into a category. The legend space or the master space is something that we have created. That's the onus with us. You know, so we're trying to create that category, and then the product will obviously happen. You know, we've already come so far. It should only move up. So the idea was that you have 5-6 years of your career as a second innings or an extended innings. That's the concept selling that we're trying to do with these legends. Even successful so far, the next lineup will be even better, you know. So I'm expecting the likes of AB de Villiers. Owen Morgan is already in, you know, next season he'll be playing. Stain was in, unfortunately, couldn't come in this season. So big guys, Suresh Raina, Robin Uthappa, all are already now committed to come back and, you know, play with us. So yeah, it's a good start.
There, guys, you've heard it first. You've got the Legends League cricket only going to be growing from now. Raman, I'm just going to ask you one more question. I know you're busy and you're literally in the middle of a match as we're speaking. But why did he pick? So obviously we've seen the World Safety Series, and why did he pick a franchise-based model rather than a country-based model, which is, I think, what the World Safety Series has gone for. So interested to know your thoughts on that.
You know, in fact, we started with the concept of the international format. The first season of ours was India, Asia, and the world. And there we had in the Asia team, we had Pakistani cricketers, Sri Lankan cricketers. So that was our USP in that particular model. Now, the idea is that I need to create content which is watchable and not just one of those matches. All of those content, you know, whatever the 16 matches that we have in our season, all of them have to be watched. And that's how I can make the product sustainable. For that, we had to create a right mix. You know, so bringing in the franchise model was the only way that I could bring in competitive cricket, bring in a mix of cricketers coming together in a team, legends playing together. So the idea was that, you know, so for me, I mean, I won't make comparisons to any other event that's happening around at the same time. We've actually beaten all of them. I'm the second most watched T20 league in India. And clearly that has defined our position, because in terms of viewership, ratings, the reach of ours, it's really gone beyond what we even ourselves thought of. So this concept is franchise model was built around the, you know, so all everybody follows the big daddy, which is IPL. That's the inspiration for all of the leagues that are happening. So the idea that we wanted to build was competitive cricket. It could be with the right mix. And that is why we wanted to have cricketers together. So the franchise model is a model that we could only do that. Now, of course, what we're doing now, every year we do two seasons. One of them would be the franchise model, wherein we will have four teams. For this season, we had four teams. Next year, next September, we'll have two more teams, six teams. In fact, two of the IPL teams are currently in negotiations with us. Actually, more, but we would be taking up on that. And then in the March season, which is going to be the same international series that we started with, which is going to be the India-Asia World. But that is where those legends go back and represent their countries. But for me, the concept is different, because even if I were to do an India versus Asia, it is watched. But if I were to do Asia versus world, that is where the quality of cricket has to be good enough for my fans to come in and watch. That is why that particular model will remain, because it has shown in the last season that it has the audience, the traction in the audience. So every year we'll have both the seasons together, both the seasons as in being played in Legends League. So for season one would be India-Asia World, season two will be the franchise model.
Okay, awesome. And any plans to bring this to London or the US or Singapore, where the three podcasters that run this show are based? Because we would love to watch one of these in the flesh.
In fact, I would want you guys to come down to our next season in Oman and watch it from the grounds. But having said that, I come from entertainment background. So I've done a few IFA Awards. I was the founding team of the IFA Awards. Mm-hmm. The concept of IFA Awards, or I would say concept of Olympics, was the original format that I wanted to take the Legends League around the world. Let the countries bid for it. But for that, I need to first establish the credibility, the attraction for the product. And thereafter, we'll go around the world and see which particular country, city would like to host us. Because what we are able to offer is all the legends of cricket together in a particular city or a country, which even an IPL or a World Cup doesn't have, because there the youngsters also come in. Where we're talking about the following of one of my teams is actually long bigger than the fan following of an IPL in terms of the social media, because my number 1 to 11 are all legends. They already have a huge following for them. But for an IPL or others, the following for the team may be bigger, but in terms of the players would be less. So no comparisons there. That's a big daddy. But what I'm trying to say is that fans want to watch these legends. And that is one of the USPs that I would like to project when I go to newer territories. India happened to us. It was originally not planned to be in India. It was supposed to be in Oman. And there were certain other countries who wanted to invite us, including South Africa, Sri Lanka and all that. And because this was the 75th year of Indian independence and we dedicated the league to it, so, just doubling up onto the celebrations. And it so happened that the way the audience had loved us, I think the franchise model is going to remain in India, but the international series model will travel around the world. So I see that happening in London or any other part of the world where cricket is followed or has a large audience. It will be a thing.
Absolutely fantastic, Raman. Of course, every time you do one of these retirement episodes, like we had to do with Dhoni a couple of years ago, it breaks our heart. But thankfully, we have you guys to salvage those broken pieces and put our hearts back together. So hopefully, we'll see a lot of these legends on the field again. I'll let you get back.
There's about 25,000 people sitting in the stadium and just loving it.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, Raman, thanks again for your time. And yeah, we look forward to future editions of this league. Thanks again.
Pleasure is all mine. Look forward to seeing you. Have you over next season. Absolutely. Thanks so much, sir. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Thanks. Bye.
And that's a wrap. Thank you all for joining us this week. A little bit of a different episode. We will be back with you next week to talk a little bit about India-South Africa's T20s. By then, the ODI series will be on and we'll be just creeping up to World Cup fever. So hard to believe it's already here. We hope you enjoyed that. As always, give us a like and a subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. Follow us on all the social medias at One Tip One Hand. That's number one TIP, number one hand. We will be back next week with a fun episode talking about Team India, as well as, of course, our Indian women at the Asia Cup. So lots going on. Take care and thanks for joining the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast as always.
Hello, 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 everybody. It's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On What the Hell Navya, Jaya Bachchan, Shweta Nanda, and Navya herself dish out stories from their childhood. They discuss tough love between parents and their kids. On Paisa Vaisa, Anupam talks to Baman Irani, President-elect Credai, and Chairman and MD at Rustamji. They discuss the concept of buy versus rent and how to approach buying property in 2022. On Cock and Bull, Cyrus is joined by Meghnad and comedian Shahid Shafi. They discuss their opinions on the ongoing Congress presidential elections and Prashant Kishore embarking on a padyatra. On The Life Manifesto, Zarina narrates a story that advocates that stress and emotions are not to be controlled but must be beautifully managed. And on the Filter Coffee podcast, Karthik is joined by Yashraj Akashi, Senior Ambassador of the TEDx program and Curator of TEDx Gateway. They discuss the origin story of TED and his franchise model. Guys, go to our website, ivmpodcast.com. You can check out the merch store, also links to all of our social media stuff, which is at ivmpodcast. Also, do check out our YouTube channels. We have a number of channels with many of your favorite shows available as full video podcasts. Finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors this week, Volvo XC40 Recharge, Bumble, Heads Up for Tails, and HDFC Mutual Fund. Thank you so much for making this possible.
Do you often find yourself surrounded by conversations about Web3, blockchain, NFTs, DAOs? What are these terms and how do they affect our future on the internet? So many questions, but don't worry, we've got answers to all your questions. Hi, I'm Eklavya Bhattacharya, and on our show, Future Proofing, we try to decode the impact of these future technologies on various industries with experts and tech enthusiasts. Tune into new episodes coming out every Thursday on the IVM Podcast app and the website, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Working Monday to Friday glued to your chair making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts from.